trust in Royce, but before that, we trust in Jesus. Because just before I kick off, if any of you have an interest in what happens politically in this nation, there's all sorts of things happening in the political realm. At the moment, there's a new anti-discrimination things trying to change. So if you have any interest, catch up with Vic Matthews, all right? See Vic up the back there? He's one of those very quiet, gentle, lovely people. He's not going to make much noise, but catch up with him and he will put the information through to you. Before I kick off, I got prayed for in the prayer room this morning for something that was my broken heart. And I was thinking, well, I don't have a broken heart, but I do. Because the Father has a broken heart for each and every one of us in this place. He wants us to come firstly to a knowledge of Him and everlasting life. But then after that, He works through us and with us. He puts us in this lovely surrounding that we might continue to grow, that one day we will enter in to that final destination with Him in heaven, into our eternal life. And every person that stands here at this pulpit as part of this church, it's our desire that we might move you from this place just a little closer to that attainment for your sanctification, the process of growing up into Christ. And it's my heart every time I stand here that I don't want to see you have the value and the joy of this service robbed from you, that you might have the whole service and then some little thing rob you at the end of it from what has happened in the place. And we see this regularly along the way, that you know, amazing words have been brought into this house, but are we hearing what the Holy Spirit's saying? Do we have an ear to hear? And today I'm just going to ask everyone just to close your eyes, because I'm going to pray right now that, Father, for each person in this place, the Lord, if they've come, Father, with a burden on their heart today, that you just release that right now. Father, that over these past few weeks we've heard amazing messages, Father, but some of them have been robbed, Father, from people because of little incidents that might occur. And Father, we don't want to see people robbed by the little things. We want their faith to continue to grow far beyond just the little things that might spoil. And we hear it in, we read it in Scripture, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Well, Father, today, that the people's hearts would be open, Father, to take on that which you want to bring into the house today. Father, that we might have ears to hear what you're proclaiming. Because, Father, as each person that would ever bring a word in this house is part of your plan, Lord, part of your vision in this church to see people come to Jesus, see them saved, redeemed, and, Father, continue to grow and then to be discipled and go out and become disciples. And that's the vision, the mission, and the heart of this church. And we give you glory today, Jesus, as you use me, Father, in that role. And I give you glory today, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. So I'm just going to grab hold of a most amazing thing called our Bible. My message is a simple one today, is choose to walk in the truth. Those two disciples, I've used them before. Beautiful Sue helps me out. I said, it's going to be really easy. We'll just use the same two disciples walking along the road. We'll put a different title underneath it. But those two disciples, we read in the book of Luke, and the two disciples are on the road to Emmaus, and they're wandering along, and Jesus comes with them. And there's all sorts of revelations come when they stop and they, you know, gather together, they start to eat meals, and Jesus is revealed to them. And they say this, did not our hearts burn within us as he walked with us? I hope today that your heart is burning within you as Jesus walks with us in this place today, all right? Is that it doesn't matter what's been going on throughout the week, all right? You're here in his house today. This is the body of Christ knit together for a good work here on earth. It's going to not return void things, but powerful, life-giving exchange, as Paul used the word the other week. All right? It's a place where you come in burdened, but I believe today you'll go out released. But here's the thing. Jesus asks the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. The lame man's there and Jesus walks up and he's saying, you know, Jesus, Jesus. But Jesus asks this question, do you want to be healed? I ask you this question today. Do you want to be healed? Because if not, Jesus can't do the work. Unless you allow Jesus to come and to do what he does, he can't do it. As we heard from Paul last week, we have a free will, a choice. We can stay where we are in the comfort of what we know, or we can release it to Jesus. Now, things might become a little different, might be a bit of a challenge in it. There might be a few things that we don't necessarily like and get excited about, but I promise you that Jesus will do what he says. So take hold of that today. Here's the question to you. Do you want that depression healed? That's the right answer is yes, Lord, I do. Do you want your sickness healed? Yes, Lord, I do. You have to. I can't do it for you. Sandra can't do it for you. Jewel can't do it for you. You have to come to a place where you choose to walk in the truth. You have to choose. All right? You can't. There is nothing else. Right? Doesn't matter how good a friend you've got, how beautiful our church is, or what's going on. You have to come to this place where you acknowledge Jesus and say, yes, Lord, I want that done. Take hold of it. Now, I just want to go back a little bit. Choose to walk in the truth. Jesus asked that. That comes out of John 5, 6. He's given the choice. He can stay as he is. You can come in each week depressed with things going on, or we can give it over. God gave us a free will. I just want to now just go to a different, scripture. And I hope you know this scripture in Revelation 2, where Jesus says, he who has an ear to hear. Have you been listening to what the Holy Spirit said in this last month? In this last month, we've had some amazing messages come from this house. All right? In this place. I might mess that up a little bit today. All right? But that can't take away from the four good messages that have been here that have come before. Let me have a look and show you, if I can, what the Holy Spirit's been doing in this house in the last month and see if you recognise what's been going on. Pastor Julie brought a message before she went away, fix our eyes on Jesus. In that, she spoke about the size of our faith being greater than the object that opposes us. Now, Jesus is the victor. He is greater than anything that would oppose us. But again, it comes to a choice whether we choose to walk in that truth or not. What we place our faith in, this is Pastor Julie, what we place our faith in, something strong and sure. Where have you placed your faith? This time more than ever, make sure our faith is in Jesus. She went on to speak about Jehoshaphat, and out of that, 2 Chronicles 20 and 12, Jehoshaphat says, we choose to fix our eyes upon you. She went on to speak about gird yourself, be prepared to stand with God, learn to trust God. So who's she speaking to today? Who's she speaking to in that message? She's not just speaking to me, she's speaking to each and every one of us in that. All right, for each one of us to do something, all right, to take an active role in what's to learn from, okay? Be prepared to stand, gird yourself. This is the words from Julie. Gird yourself. Who can do that for you apart from you? No one else can do it for you. There comes a point where you will say to Jesus, yes, I want to be healed. She also went on, learned to trust God. It's a growth, it's a time, it's a sanctification process, the development of our faith, our trust, our hope in God. The next week, we came to, beautiful Sandra brought us a message here, and I had to try and condense this down, sorry Sandra, because there was a lot of notes I took, all right? But Sandra's message was overcoming opposition. We are overcomers. She used 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcame the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that today, that Jesus is the Son of God? If you do, you have overcome the world, because Jesus has in his thing. Sandra went on to speak about the parable of the sower. In that, she spoke about the different grounds that the seed might fall into. Now, the seed is God's. It has God's life in it. But it's up to the farmer to prepare the ground that the seed will go into. This is my take on what Sandra was speaking about. There's an active role for us to prepare the ground of our heart for the seed to go into, to germinate, to grow, and then be looked after. Sandra said these words, "The devil doesn't want you to believe the word and tries everything to rob it from us. God upholds the word of his power. We need to believe that the word has power in our lives and so much more." So this is my words, listen to our message again. All right, because that leads us then on to Pastor Tepper. Pastor Tepper brought a message, an incredible truth, the name of Jesus. The church is the body of Christ and we gather in the name of Jesus, the most powerful name. Example, Peter and John healing the lame man out of Acts 3:6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Again today, none of these things. I don't have silver, I don't have gold for you, but I do have the name of Jesus. Whatever that thing is on you today, you can give it over to him. Release it to him right now. You don't have to carry it. You don't have to have it. It's not yours, all right? It's a lie of the devil, and it's only sent here to distract and take away from that gift that you're getting today, the word of God, into your life. He went on to speak about the three P's, protection, peace, and then for us to grow to proclaim the word of God. What a beautiful thing. If you have a look at our vision up there on the back wall, and Dennis has taken it from where it was in the back corner down low, put it up where it should be, all right? But our vision is to see people saved, healed, and free, all right? Equipped, empowered, and serving, all right? But that's also God's vision. That's his will for each one of us. His will is that none should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of him and everlasting life. And that's for us to grow into. It's an active thing, all right? So Tepper went on, God encourages to step towards him, to taste and see. Is there an underlying message coming out of these three messages so far, all right? Is that there's an active role for each one of us to play in our role in life, all right? Is to first accept that which is given to us. Do you want to be healed? Yes, I do, Lord, all right? Then there's an active role. And Tepper went on and started to speak about the practices that we walk into. And we practice this, spiritual practices. We will never master this, but that doesn't stop us from practicing it, all right? And he went on to speak about different other things, which led us then. Now, understand, he's talking about taking a practice and mastering it. Pastor Paul then went on the next week to speak about the master and the apprentice and actually learning and becoming like the master. So each four words that have been brought here, every one of them leads us into the next one, into the next one, into the next one, and into the next one. And I encourage you that if you're not taking notes here at church, if you're not coming and absorbing and listening to the messages that are coming, you're probably missing what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. You're probably missing what's going on and what he's trying to bring to you for you to apply into your life. Pastor Paul then went on. He said, become a student of the teacher. Learn, become master. He spoke about the expert, the Holy Spirit, and he spoke about John 14 and 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Paul also spoke, a disciple is somebody who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus and is committed to the mission of Jesus. They look to Jesus for their moral decision making. And he spoke about Mark 1:17, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. We're being rebuilt into the blueprint of the Master. It won't happen overnight, but it will happen. What does it take to become a disciple? Give me the law, rules? No. God gave us a free will. He takes a terrible risk by giving us the option to choose. I laugh when I read that because Paul gives a little chuckle. You know, if you recognise Pastor Paul, you know, he chuckles a little bit and he's got this funny sense of humour, hasn't he, Pastor Paul? But he says, God gives us a free will. He takes a terrible risk by giving us the option to choose. He gives us the power to make our own choices. Like our Creator, we have a free will. Will we choose him? A choice, it's a heart, soul, and mind choice. He doesn't always approve of our choices. Even then, when we make bad choices, he doesn't cut us off. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I was talking with Streety the other day, is that God loved us while we were still sinners, and then he gave his life, he gave his son for to redeem us. How much more does he love us today? We think we make a mistake and we're cut off from God. That's the furthest thing from the truth. He wants us to make decisions. He wants us to walk in him. He allows us to fall short, because where do we grow the best, all right, is when we're under pressure. None of us very, very rarely come, and I would probably state this pretty strongly, is not very many of us have come to God on the top of the mountain while things have been really cool. Most of us, I would suggest, probably have come to the Lord when things are really pressing us down. I would suggest that most of us turn to the Lord and go out and wake up that morning and jump on our knees and start praying when the pressure's on us. All right, when things are hunky-dory and cruising along real good, we get a little bit complacent, all right? That's not the time to be complacent, because falling off the top of the mountain hurts, all right? And it's easier to stay there and give thanks and praise him and give glory to him than to try and get back up again out of the valley, all right? Because that's not where he wants us, because we're not good disciples in the bottom of the valley, all right? We're useful out there touching people. All right, God gave us a free will. He doesn't cut us off if we make a bad choice. Paul said this, to offer us life without choice would make the scripture void. We have the choice to believe what Jesus has spoken. Because if we didn't, we would just be an automaton. We would just be accepting and doing and that, but he didn't. He gave us a choice to choose to love him, to love him, to lay our lives down as he did for us. It's a choice we can make. Who can make it for you? Only you can. We can choose to spend time in the Word. We can choose to worship. We can choose to do honor and give glory to God, or we can choose not to. But I tell you what, this is God's will for you, that in all things give praise and thanksgiving. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you want to know what God's will is, you start praising, giving praise and glory and honouring him and lifting him up. That's his will for us. God gave us a free will full of hope that we would choose him. God shows us the consequences, also shows us the good side, but he leaves us to choose. Free will. No excuses before God. No one to blame but ourselves. We freely have the right to make them, our choices. But if we make our choices, this is what Paul spoke, I choose not to blame God for the outcome of the crazy choices I make, my self-inflicted wounds. He doesn't reject us. He hasn't done with me yet. Time to let it go. And he spoke right at the beginning. He said, if you've got depression, don't make a kennel for the black dog of depression in your life. Set it out. Kick it out. Tell it to be gone in Jesus' name. Now, coming back to the question, as Jesus asked the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, do you want to be healed? It's what we choose now to do with the information that we've been given. Are we going to step into it? Are we going to choose to walk in the truth? Are we going to allow it to apply in our lives? Are we going to give ourselves the opportunity to make a few mistakes but keep stepping back up again saying, Lord, forgive me. I've made a mistake. I repent of that and I come back to you. Take your way. Have your way in my life. It's what we choose to do with that information. I was really blessed this week. Streety texted me, he said, you want to come and have a coffee? I said, yeah, that'd be lovely. He said, but we're going to do it at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, oh, gee, that's a little bit early, you know. And that puts the pressure on a little bit, doesn't it? But you know what? Is that when I go and have a coffee with Streety, he also buys me an egg and bacon burger as well, all right? So there's always a blessing that comes with that. But do you know what? Is that when he texted me, I had a choice, didn't I? I could choose to go and have the blessing, get an egg and bacon burger, a couple of cups of coffee, fellowship with Streety, or I could choose not to. Are we doing that in our lives? When Jesus offers you the opportunity to come and sit at the table and to fellowship and have time, are we taking him up? Are we taking the offer? Are we taking the invitation? Or are we choosing not to? When he says to you at 2 o'clock in the morning, jump out of bed for a sec, come and pick up my word and read through it, and I've got some things to reveal to you. Are we taking that opportunity? You know, you might be going, oh, well, 2 o'clock in the morning is too early. How about we make it 9 o'clock, okay? But at 9 o'clock, when he comes and he goes, hello, I've got something for you. And here it is. Look, it comes. And I want to read this scripture to you. It's Psalm 89. Okay, oh, sorry, 86, verse 11. Let me read this to you. And he says this to you. He says, oh, look, I've got this. Will you just listen to this? Psalm 86, verse 11. And he says to you, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. And I was sitting with Kim and Streety, and Kim's got that on the wall behind her. And I'm going, Lord, you're so good. You're with us all the time. You never walk away from us. Everything that we're going, we're into, he's there with us. And in this last month, I give you this. Have you been aware of what the Holy Spirit's been saying to you? Have you felt him lift you up? If we go to Psalm 119, and we'll go out of it's a good spot to be, but here it's here somewhere. It's where it should be. It's right there. This is the words of Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Who is blessed? Those who walk in the way of the Lord. Who's that? That's us. If we've chosen Jesus and we've accepted him as our Lord and Saviour, we're blessed. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Who's he speaking to? Is he speaking just to Streety? Or Sandra, Olorus? No, he's speaking to every one of us in this room. He actually is speaking to everyone out there in the world, but some have chosen not to hear what he's speaking just yet. All right? But it's his will that none should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of him and everlasting life. Meditations of the excellencies of the Word of God. Grab hold of it. Meditate on it. Choose to walk in his truth. It's what we do with the information. Okay? If you leave this room today, all right, and you've got the information, but you choose to do nothing with it, all right, as Paul said, you know, is you'll be responsible for the silly decisions you make. All right? That's not my words. That's Pastor Paul last week. All right? I can be a bit hard on you this week. All right? I'm allowed to. Okay? But you'll forgive me for that, won't you? Because my heart is, just like the Father's, is that he loves us so dearly. He doesn't want to see us down and depressed and in the wrong places, doing the wrong things. All right? It's his heart for us to be raised up in the blessings that he has for us, to go in the glory of the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is that it is such a blessing to be here in this house, that the Holy Spirit every week knows his plan for each one of us, in that he planned Pastor Julie to bring a message and to set up the word that the next week Sandra would bring a message that would then go on to carry on to what Pastor Tepper would bring. And then that would go on to what Pastor Paul would bring. To maybe just sum it up in that is that have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying in your life. Is one last thing is that, has anyone ever watched the show MASH on television? Right? It's a fictional show. Set in the Korean War, a mobile army surgical hospital in the period of the Korean War. One of the characters is a bloke. Charles Emerson Winchester III. All right, he's the bald-headed British bloke. But in this particular show of MASH, he comes out and a sniper shoots the hat off his head. The bullet goes through, picks off the back of the and takes his cap off his head. And he goes, "Phew, gee, that was a bit close." But he starts to dwell on life. He's a doctor, all right? He has the training of a doctor. Their role is to take the young men that have been wounded, to patch them up and to keep them alive. He starts to question life and what's just happened to him at this point. And he goes to the guy who runs the motor pool and he gets him to pull a Jeep apart and lay the Jeep out in all its bits on the ground. And he's got a big tarp and some sheets and things like that. And there's the pistons for the engine and the crankshaft and there's all the bits and pieces there. And then he gets him to put it all back together. And the mechanic puts the Jeep back together and he said, "Now start it up." And the bloke turns the key and the Jeep starts. But he has this epiphany and he goes, with all these young men that come in to us, he said, "I've got all the bits." He said, "We've put them all back together in the right place. Why can't we give life? Why don't they live? Why doesn't everyone that we fix live?" Because life comes in a whole different realm. It's not just in the sum total of the parts. If you think today that you're just the sum total of some parts put together, you're not. God has imparted into you an eternal part. You are not today just the sum total of a heart, some lungs, a couple of arms, some eyes and things like that. Imparted into you is the life of the living God. Every one of you is that special. that eternal life that will go on, even from this place, once we depart from here, all right, not just here today, but when we depart this earth, okay? And we've had that epiphany, haven't we, Sandra? And for most of us, we have, and we will come. The further we get down the line, this fact that we will come to an end here on this, in this little bit of temporal time that we have, we will go to be. But the eternal part that is placed in you, Craig and I were just talking last night, he said, do you grow anything? And I said, well, I'm not very good at growing things, all right? But we're speaking about the fact that a seed, a chicken can eat, you know, a bit of tomato and eat that seed. It can pass right through the chicken, right? And then enter into the ground and still come to a place that it will germinate. The life that's in it. Do we do anything to bring that life? No, we can't. In all our finite wisdom, in all of our medicine, in all the things, we can put all the parts together, but we can't give life. Only Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you want to know the way today, Jesus is the way. You want to know how to choose to walk in the truth? Jesus is the truth. But also, once we choose to do that, guess what? There is life and life abundant for those who choose to walk in the truth. And I just leave that with you today, is that in the past month, every word has led us to a point of there is an action for us to take. There's an action, a role for us to play. If you don't have a vision for yourself, buy into the vision of your local church. It's God's vision. It's His will that what He wants done. There's so much to do here in your local home. All right? If you feel you're inadequate, come ask Pastor Julie, what would you like me to do? There's never enough people to do all the things that need to be done. I look, last night, I